Matt. I'm a pastor at Burke Community Church, which is about an hour away from here. I am the youth pastor there, and it's been a super busy long summer. So I've had five camps to be running, ranging from VBS to summer camp to theater camp. To another arts camp, which we finished up last week. And next week we have missions camp. So we'll be taking our middle schoolers into the community to help serve the community. And it's been a very amazing, blissful summer as well. During our VBS, we had about 400 kids come through the building. Boy, that building needed some cleanup afterwards. But 60 kids put their faith and trust in Christ for the first time. And so that's something to be thankful for. We are deeply thankful for. Then we took about 200 high school, middle schoolers to our summer camp down in Liberty University. And we had 25 middle schoolers put their faith and trust in Christ or reaffirm their faith in Christ. So we are very blessed. And we are seeing many baptisms. I heard talking about baptisms today. We are seeing many kids come to Christ. And there is something special happening with our youth. Our youth, I really truly believe, are seeking truth, and they are seeking truth in Scripture and through God's Word. The world is telling them one thing, and they're seeing that this is not the truth. And so this is an exciting time. It really is, you know, in today's world. Even though we see a lot of sinful things happening, a lot of difficult things happening, it's very encouraging to see families and kids coming to faith and also seeking what is truth. And truth is Scripture. God's Word is the ultimate truth. So it's exciting to hear what you're doing here with your youth as well. So I'll be praying for you and really do hope that that is a successful thing, because we do want to see more of our youth come into our community, into our churches, and know who God is and know what truth is. So that's good. So today we're going to be looking at Psalm 23. So if you have your Bibles, you'd like to turn to Psalm 23. It's a short psalm, but there's a lot in it. There's a lot in this psalm, and it's really, really is a great psalm. And it's a trust psalm. And so there are several different psalms. Types of psalms, which we'll look at later. But this one is a trust psalm, and what this psalm really talks about is how we can put our trust in the Lord and what he provides and gives us. And we're going to see a lot of ideas of the shepherd and the sheep, and we're going to see all of these things throughout this psalm, even though it's a short psalm. And it was written by David, and David was a shepherd, and so he had a lot of experience in writing this psalm. But first off, has anyone heard of a trustful exercise? Anyone done the trustful exercise in your lives? Yeah, you know, so you have a group of people stand right behind you, you put your arms out like this, and it's almost like being baptized, isn't it? So, and then you fall backwards, and then they catch you. So I have a video here. Will that video play? I don't know. Is there a play button? Maybe. There we go.
And it'll be an exercise in building trust between one another. So Harrison, if you don't mind going first, step up here on this chair and close your eyes. All right, and then everybody fill in, and we're going to ask you to fall, and then they will catch you. So you have to trust us. So I'm going to count to three, just relax and fall, okay? One, two, three.
No, wait, no, no!
So, trust exercise gone wrong. So, if you ever do that, don't do it that way. Go back, always fall backwards, okay? but the young gentleman there put his trust in the humans, and maybe he shouldn't have, or maybe they should. I'm pretty sure it was an act. I'm pretty sure. Looking at as a fellow actor, looking at their faces, some of them are like, oh, well, that's a shame. But I'm pretty sure. I hope he was okay. I hope he wasn't an actual one. But anyway, so you know, so a lot of us, we put our trust in other people, and we put our trust in technology. Oh boy, do we put our trust in technology. And does it sometimes fail us? Yes, it does, unfortunately. But what we're going to see in this scripture today is when we put our trust in the Lord will never, ever fail us. And so there are several different types of psalms. We have praise psalms, lament psalms, hymns, royal wisdom, trust, thanksgiving. There's 150 psalms. Various different scholars have put them into different categories. Some disagree, some agree. But we're going to be looking at a trust psalm. And so the idea behind a trust psalm is that it is a declaration of confidence in God. It's a way that shows us how God leads and protects us so that we can trust in him. And it's an emphasis of a personal relationship between the worshiper and God. And so in this psalm, in Psalm 23, we're going to see how David is basically writing to whoever's going to read this and basically say, put your trust in God. And this is how you put your trust in God. And I'm going to give you and show you the different analogies between how a sheep puts their trust in a shepherd. And so, right here, we're going to look at how God is our leader through the first four verses in Psalm 23, verses 1 to 4. And so, in verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." So we're going to see this analogy of the Lord being the shepherd. Do we have any shepherds here? Any sheep herders? Actual sheep herders? No? Okay. The last time I preached this at a homeless shelter called the Lamb Center. I don't know if you ever heard of it. It's a well-known one in Fairfax County. And I actually had a young lady there who was an immigrant from Peru. And she raised her hand and said, "Yes, I used to look after sheep, and I used to be a shepherdess." And so then I got really nervous because I was like, all the information I'm going to give you is probably all wrong. But luckily it wasn't. And she gave me some new information, which I'm able to share with you today. But she was super excited that she was able to listen to a message based on something that she had actually done before. And so it was just really interesting for her. But anyway, we're going to look at the Lord as a shepherd. And so what does a shepherd do? Looks after sheep. It is in charge of a flock. It doesn't just stand there, as we're going to read through this psalm. It has a very, very important job. And so, of course, we're talking about thousands and thousands of years ago when this psalm was written. But, you know, there are still shepherds today, actual shepherds who look after flocks of sheep. And so back then, this was an important job, but it was also one of those jobs that was given to people of lowly status. Usually it was given to a woman, but we see a lot of examples of men being shepherds through Scripture. And so although it was a very important position, a lot of people looked down upon it, but what do sheep provide? They provide many things. They provide milk, they provide the fur, the clothing, and things like that. Very, very important as part of the culture back in Israel. So the Lord is my shepherd. The shepherd is the one who is looking after the sheep. We're relating the shepherd to who God is. I shall not want. And so this is basically saying that the Lord is my shepherd, so what do I need if I have a shepherd who's looking after me, if I have a Lord who is taking care of me? And we're going to see through this scripture the things that a shepherd or the Lord takes care of us, and so we can put our trust in the Lord. And so there is a sheep. Sheep are considered not the brightest of animals in the universe, apparently. I don't know a lot about sheep. So they tend to get up into, a few scrapes now and again. So they need a lot of direction. Sheep need a lot of direction. And so if the Lord is a shepherd, then we're the sheep. Are we clueless? Well, no. I would say we're totally clueless, but we definitely need guidance, don't we? We definitely need direction from somebody. And so what we see in this scripture is that the Lord is our shepherd, and he's going to give us direction, and he's going to be able to help us in our daily needs. And so in verse 2, we now know the Lord is a shepherd. What are all the needs that we need? He provides everything for us. In verse 2, it says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters." I thought it was very interesting that we sang, the last song we sang today was speaking of that. I was like, oh, did you guys plan that? I don't know. Maybe it was the Lord that planned that today. But anyway, so "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters." He's talking about sheep. So David here is talking about sheep. We're talking about sheep all through this scripture. So sheep love to sit down in green pastures. In Israel, there's not a lot of greenery there. Has anyone here been to Israel? Nobody? Oh, really? Oh, I thought someone would have at least been there. Yep, so you've been there. Another one there. So if the further south you go, it's a lot of desert. The further north you get, it gets a little bit more greener. So we're most likely probably in the north of the country right now where David is writing this psalm. But sheep love to they love to lie down in the pastures, and they also like to eat grass. And so the shepherd likes to bring them to an area that is abundant with grass. So they can lie down, they can ruminate, they can eat plenty of grass, and it's also a beautiful image for them to actually see. So here's a few pictures of the greenery here. This is in northern Israel as well, so you see the sheep there. And look, do you see those waters there? Those waters over there are very nice and still. There's a I think that's a video, but we don't need to play that. So this is a video I took when I was in Israel. It's in the area of Dan. And it's really, really fast rushing. This is the type of water that's very, very fast rushing that actually a sheep doesn't want to go near, and I'll explain that in a minute. Oh, there it is. Look, it played. Look at that. So that's actually very fast running water in an area in Dan. And here is an area where there is water, but it's kind of like in one of those kind of ravines, a little further down. So that's not one of the areas where you would like to see sheep, but you actually do see ibex, which are kind of like goats. And they live out there in the southern desert, and they still manage to survive out there. If you see in the center there, you actually see one of the ibexes there. So they do live out there. There's a lot of the creatures that live out there, ibex and goats. So they are able to live in extreme temperatures. The sheep will be much further north as well. But you see kind of like the climate and what Israel is like in the different types of areas. And there's a little tiny waterfall there in the area where David would be hiding in some of the caves. They believe this is one of the areas where he was hiding. So you do see an abundance of water and grass there. So in verse 2, at the end of it, it says, he leads me beside still waters. Well, why is it important for a sheep to be by still waters? So you saw that rushing water there, but in the first picture, you saw a lake where there was lots of water, it was calm, it was still. So sheep have been known in the southwest deserts of America and the Negev of Israel to die beside a fast-flowing stream. So why is that? Because aren't they surely trying to find water because they're thirsty? So they get to the water, and they're actually fearful of the rushing water. So they get it, they see the water, but they don't go in because they're fearful they're going to die. They're either going to fall in, be swept away, but it's actually another reason. The rushing water can cause them to get moisture up their nose when they drink because of the water is rushing so fast, and it will cause a type of pneumonia, and sheep know to be afraid of rushing water, and they will not drink from a fast-flowing stream. Isn't that interesting? And so God, who is our shepherd, meets our needs the way a shepherd does in ancient Israel. He leads the sheep not just to any old type of water, but to gentle waters, waters that the sheep will not be fearful about. Isn't that incredible? So the shepherd knows not to lead it just to water that you saw that was rushing, because the sheep will be fearful, and if they try to drink it, they will actually potentially die because the moisture gets up the nose and it causes pneumonia. Rather, the shepherd finds still waters so the sheep is safe and it can drink from it and it is protected. So we see the Lord here as the shepherd. He's protecting us. Not only is he guiding us to where we need to go, but he's also protecting us. And so that's why he leads us beside still waters. He leads the sheep. He is guiding us. He's protecting us to where we need to go. In verse 3, he restores my soul. So he restores my soul. And so the Lord restores our soul, doesn't he, in the most amazing ways. I think my soul was restored during the worship today, hearing those words of calm and comfort that the Lord can give us through his praise and worship, but also through his scripture. But there's a reason why David wrote this. He's talking about sheep, restoring my soul. And so in biblical old times, the shepherd would touch his sheep every single day. So imagine you got 100 sheep. That's a lot of sheep, isn't it? So he'd go around each of the sheep and he would just pet them and calm them. And it would allow the sheep to have a sense of calm. Do any of you own dogs or cats? Yeah. So if a dog comes up to you and they're a little, you know, wild and everything, what do? You go, there, good boy, good girl. And they calm down, usually, don't they? Unless you have a husky like me and they go even wilder. But usually they calm down. And so dogs and cats and pets, they want to know that their owners love them. And there's a way for us to calm them down, to kind of restore their soul. So the shepherd would touch the sheep each and every day. So sheep that are not touched, they can go wild and you can't go near them. So if the shepherd is not touching the sheep, calming them down, the sheep will just go wild and they'll run off. So the shepherd is providing this comfort, restoring their soul, making them calm. And so an interesting thing is when a baby sheep is delivered, they would be separated from the mother. And the poor mother bleats and bleats for about a week. And, you know, it's probably a horrible thing to hear because, you know, no one wants to separate, you know, the child from the mother. But it's very important because if they're not able to separate the mother of the lamb from the mother, then the mother won't allow anybody to go near the sheep. It's near the child, so the shepherd can't go anywhere near the sheep or the lamb. And so that's why they have to separate. There's a period of separation so that the shepherd can be able to go and touch and restore and calm the sheep down, even though it's hard for the mother. Otherwise, the mother will never allow the shepherd to go anywhere near it. And so again, the shepherd has to go into the mother and calm the mother. There, it'll be okay. Everything's going to be fine. You'll see your baby in about a week's time, even though he's talking to the sheep, and the sheep has no idea what the shepherd's saying, but it's that act of the petting and the calming down, restoring the soul from that agitation and making them feel so much better. And then he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And so shepherds, they don't just sit in the same field. They're always leading their sheep from one place to another. We're going to look a little bit further at that in the next verse about the danger what a shepherd and sheep and flocks have when they're moving around. But the paths are well trodden. A shepherd will know the direction and the places for the sheep to go. And so it's important for them to know to have warm paths, to have paths that are the right direction. And so he leads us, the shepherd who is the Lord, leads us as well in paths of righteousness. He is there to lead us in the right direction. And again, this is a trust psalm, so we are to trust him that he is leading us in the right direction and the right paths. Just like the shepherd knows where to go, know where the safe places are, he is guiding the flock on the right paths. And so in verse 4, you probably know this one really well. You've probably heard this one. You may have heard this at funerals as well or various other places. But even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And so if you remember, I don't know if I can go back, but if you remember some of these pictures I just showed, there we go. You may see see this valley here, even though there's a river, and the next one there. So can you imagine what it must be like when it's darker outside, when the cloud cover is? And so it must be, especially at nighttime, walking through those valleys there. It must be a little bit terrifying. And so, walking through the valley of the shadow of death, we've got something that's very, very interesting here. In the Hebrew, the word death can also mean darkness. And so there are some scholars out there that actually think the word death is actually not appropriate. It should be darkness, because when the sheep are walking through the valleys and those the crevices, it gets dark. And so what happens in the darkness, what lurks in the darkness? All sorts of things, thieves and robbers and animals and things that can attack the sheep and can attack the shepherd. But it's the shepherd's job to be the one to lead them through the darkness, because it could result in death. And so that might be the reason why it does use the word death as well in most translations. And so that's why we are to not fear evil, because the shepherd is the Lord, is guiding us through the darkness and is going to protect us from the thieves and the robbers and all those things. And that metaphorically could be anything today. Many things that can try to attack our faith as we are Christians living in a world where there is so much going on and so much untruth, that we are to put our trust in the shepherd who is to lead us through that time, which is why it says, I will fear no evil. But we do fear, don't we? There are times where we do fear for what is going in our lives, yet we should be the ones to put our trust and faith in the Lord, even through difficult times. For you are with me. Who is with us? God, the shepherd. He is with us, guiding us, even when we walk through difficult times. For your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So why is a rod and a staff so important in terms of sheep? Well, sheep can tend, they wander all over the place. They can fall down into a crevice and everything. So you ever seen a shepherd with a staff? They hold a staff. What's at the top? You see the crook at the top? Well, if a sheep falls down, it picks up the rod and it picks it up by the neck and it puts it back on the path. It's that easy. So that's why it has a staff. And then the rod is it's like a truncheon. So the shepherd has the staff here and the rod here as it's walking the sheep through the areas. And so the rod is there so it can fend off any attackers, any thieves, any robbers, any animals, any things that could come and can potentially hurt the flock and hurt the shepherd. So the shepherd is not only guiding them in the right way through the darkness or through difficult areas, but it is also there to protect when things may go wrong or when things may come out of the darkness and attack. And so the shepherd is the one who is caring fully for his sheep as the sheep are being guided, but also that there could be any type of enemies lurking around the corner. And so the first point today is that God is our leader. God leads us. God leads us through the good times and the hard times. And so there are good times where the shepherd has the sheep are in the pastures lying down. Those are the good times. But there are also difficult times where they have to make difficult choices by going through areas where there could be the enemies lurking. But God leads us. And so God is our leader, and we should be putting our trust in him. Again, this is a trust psalm. So we see that imagery of the trusting in the shepherd, trusting in the Lord to take us through these times that could be difficult. And so remember, he's leading us through the good times, but also the hard times as well. He is always there with us. Verse 5, we're going to look at God the provider. We're going to see how does God provide for us, and how does the shepherd provide for the sheep. And so it says in verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And some interpreters say, oh, this must be a banquet. This must be an actual feast that we sit at the table, but and there are enemies behind us, lurking behind the curtains, ready to pounce on us. But my professor in seminary, he actually had a different interpretation of this, and it's to do with sheep and shepherds. And I think he may have a good point here, so I'll let you guys be the judge of this. So when he says, you prepare a table before me, he's actually talking about leading the sheep to abundant grass. And so the reason that my professor thought this was the incorrect interpretation is because of the expression in the presence of my enemies. He said, well, do you have enemies in a banquet scene? Are they lurking behind the curtains like a medieval plot ready to pounce? And he says, no, probably not. The enemies are probably the dogs on the hills, the carnivores in a ravine, the animals that are hiding in a cave. And so I think he's got a good point there, because later on, another commentator who was knew a lot about the art form of shepherding says this. He says, when David referred to a table, it was actually the entire high summer range. Though these areas may have been remote and hard to reach, the energetic and aggressive sheep owner takes the time and trouble to ready them for the arrival of his flocks. Just before the sheep arrive on this area, he will make another expedition or two to prepare the tableland for them. He takes along a supply of salt and minerals to be distributed over the range at strategic spots for the benefit of the sheep during the summer. The intelligent, careful shepherd will also decide well ahead of time where his camps will be located so the sheep have the best bed grounds. He goes over the range carefully to determine how vigorous the grass and upland vegetation is. At this time, he decides whether some glades and basins can be used only lightly, whereas other slopes and meadows may be grazed more heavily. Isn't that amazing? Is that absolutely incredible? So the shepherd not only has his flock, but he goes ahead. He goes ahead of time to prepare the table for the in the presence of the enemies. So he goes ahead, he puts himself in danger, even though he knows there will be animals and robbers out there, but he cares for his flock so much, he goes ahead of time and makes sure he finds the best place for the sheep. And doesn't the Lord do the same for us? Doesn't he go ahead of us as well? Does he not know what is going to happen in our lives? Does he not protect us like that? Yes, he absolutely does. Again, a trust psalm. We are putting our trust in the Lord. And that's exactly what the Lord does and what the shepherd does as well. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. And so, again, this is to do with a shepherd protecting his sheep. So what is this oil? So what is this in reference to? It's in reference to the shepherds learned a long time ago to put olive oil over the muzzle of the sheep. And so this is important because, and it's not very pleasant what I'm about to say, so brace yourself, it prevents flies from entering the nostrils of the sheep and laying eggs, which will hatch, and the insects and the maggots, and I think I should stop there. So they will do very devastating things to the sheep, and they will hurt them, and they will kill them. And so by pouring oil over their heads, over the muzzle, it protects them from the flies coming in and doing serious damage to the sheep. And so it's not just dabbing it with a little bit of oil. No, it says my cup overflows. So they're pouring it over the sheep, over the muzzle, so they are fully protected. No expense is to be spared for protecting a sheep. They're all very important. And we are important as well. All of us, each and every one of us, is loved and cared by God, that he also, his love overflows for us as well. And so that's why a shepherd spares no expense in overflowing the oil, making sure that the sheep is protected and not hurt or injured by the flies that could come and hurt him. And so God does the same thing to us. And so God is our provider. God provides for us. He always provides for us. He's providing for us when we are in need and even when we are not aware of needing something. The sheep weren't aware what's going on. In fact, they probably hated it. They probably hated getting the oil in their eyes and everything. But what they weren't aware of was the shepherd was protecting them, and it would have been only maybe, and they never may have even ever known and understood why this is happening. And this is the same thing for us too. There are sometimes where we don't even understand why is this happening, or why is certain things going on, but God is protecting us in his way. And it's just a really calming thing. Again, this is a trust psalm. It's calming that we are putting our trust in God and why he does certain things in our life to protect us when things are happening. And so the believer's response, what is our response to this? So we have seen at the beginning, the Lord is our shepherd, I shall not want, I have all of these needs, he is going to provide for us, he is going to, we are supposed to trust in God. And so the response is, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so this is the response of the sheep. If the sheep follow the shepherd and allow the shepherd and put their trust in the shepherd and don't try to escape from it, goodness and mercy shall follow them all of their days. They will be protected by the Lord, and they shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There's kind of like a double meaning here. Commentators, you know, they kind of disagree and agree on some things. Because again, this is to do with sheep. So again, if the sheep follow the shepherd, they trust in him, they will have good, long-lasting days. And the house of the Lord was also considered to be Jerusalem at the time. So the sheep would, or the pen that was in Jerusalem. And so they would be able to dwell with the shepherd on the land, in the pen, within Jerusalem with the Lord forever. But also we see that if we trust and put our faith in the Lord, and we allow him to do all these things and protect us, come alongside us, our days will also be good, and mercy will follow us, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever as well. And that's eternity. And that means that we will be with the Lord forever if we put our faith and trust in him. And so that is our response. Our response to God as a leader and provider is to believe in him and to trust in him. Our response to God as a leader and provider is to believe in him and to follow him. Just like the sheep are to put their faith and trust in the shepherd, and the shepherd is there to provide them, we are the same thing. We should do the same thing as well as the sheep. I'll come back to that in a minute. So a couple of applications. There's three applications here. Find moments in our lives where we just trust God. Let him lead and be brave enough to follow him. This can be difficult, can it, sometimes? Where we are just to put our trust in God. Again, it's a trust psalm. Let him lead and be brave enough to follow him. Let him lead us. Don't be afraid when we are not sure if God's telling us to do something. Maybe it doesn't sound like we want to do it. Maybe we have to be brave enough. I think about, you know, evangelism. When we see somebody and we know the Lord is telling us to go speak to someone, hey, tell the Lord that he loves that person. Be brave. Step out in comfort. Tell that person. We don't know what the result will be, but if God is telling us to do something, we should put our faith and trust in him, and we should step out, be brave enough, knowing that he is there with us. Remember that God always provides for us. Step out in faith, being fully aware that we are to trust in him. I think we forget that sometimes, that God is our provider. He provides everything for us, and we're going to see that in a minute. Does he not provide everything? Yeah, he really does. But sometimes we lack that idea that he does. We try to do things on our own, don't we? So when a sheep tries to wander off and think, well, I'm just going to find the best grass that's out there and I'm just going to lead the shepherd, what happens usually? Well, they end up falling down a ravine or a crevice, or a wolf comes out of nowhere and attacks them, and they can get seriously hurt. And so the same thing for us is we need to know that God provides for us. Let us not try to provide for ourselves. Let us remember that God provides for us and stay near him at all times. And last, continue to put our faith and trust in God. Follow him, and we will be rewarded by being with him for eternity. Just like the sheep are rewarded as they follow the shepherd, they are continually going to be safe, and they're going to be in the pen, and they're going to be looked after, and they will be with the shepherd for eternity and live a long, good life. We too are to put our faith and trust in Christ, knowing that we will live with the Lord forever and for eternity as well. And so, just to conclude this sermon today, I just wanted to share something with you. I found this. I can't remember exactly where I found this, but it wasn't me, so I can't take credit for it. And so it was here. I shall not want. So right here is a list of the things that the psalm talks about that we know that God provides for us. And so the first one is rest, for he makes me lie down in green pastures. He gives us rest because he allows us to lie down in green pastures. He gives us peace, for he leads us beside still waters. Forgiveness, he gives us forgiveness, for he restores my soul. He gives us guidance, for he leads me in righteous paths. He gives us companionship, for he is with us. We don't need to be lonely. He gives us comfort, for his rod and staff comfort me. He gives us food, for he prepares a table for me. He gives us protection, for he does so in the presence of my enemies. He gives us acceptance, for he anoints my head in oil. He gives us abundance, for he makes my cup overflow. He gives us grace, for he makes goodness and mercy follow me. And he gives us security, for he makes me dwell in his house forever. So look at all these things that God provides in this psalm. All of these things, the things that we will be given and we will have comfort in when we put our faith and trust in Christ. Just like the shepherd oversees the sheep, the Lord oversees us in our own lives. And here we see the result when we believe and we trust in this psalm. All the things that he gives us, it is in abundance. And it is a beautiful thing to see. And so we should be grateful that we have put our trust and faith in the Lord. Let us continue to put our trust in the Lord, because he provides so much in our lives. Let me just close this in prayer. Father, thank you so much for this wonderful psalm that you have written. We thank you for your servant David for writing this faithfully, Lord. And we see how we are just so grateful for everything that you've given us. And you are our shepherd, and we are your sheep, Lord. And we want to stay close by you, for we know through this psalm that if we stay close by you, you will protect us. And we will live forever with you in eternity, Lord. And so we just want to be encouraged by this psalm. You provide so much if we put our trust in you, Lord. And so we are just so grateful for the many things that you continue to give us and provide us. And so, Lord, as we go through our lives this week, let us remind us that we shall not want for anything, because you have given us so much. And so remind us, even when there are times where we may face danger or we may feel troubled, we are to remember to put our faith and trust in you, Lord. So, Father, be with us for the rest of this day, for the rest of this week, until we meet again here in this place. In your name we pray. Amen.